Christmas time, we used to get snow around this time of the year, you know, but apparently global warming and stuff, we don't. But so when I was 16 years old, and all the 16-year-olds in the room just don't listen to the next 3 minutes. When I was 16 years old, we had a snow day around this time of the year in Indiana. So we didn't have to go to school. There was a snow out. And my uncle and I decided to go out and just see what the big deal was. What was the big deal on the roads? Why did they have to close school and all this kind of stuff? Now, my uncle, just so you know, he's the same age as me. He's 2 months to the day older than me. Now, in case you don't understand what that means that my grandmother and my mother were pregnant at the same time. All right? So my grandmother was a trooper. And so my uncle and I, we grew up together like cousins, friends. So I was over at their house, and we're in the middle of you don't understand. We were in the middle of rural America. We are, like, grew up in a town, but everybody else lived out of the town. And by town, I mean just a few people. But they lived in the middle of nowhere in cornfields and cow pastures and things like that. So we get into the pickup truck, and we go out, and we do what rednecks do on snow days. Okay, you don't know what they do. I'll explain what they do. They take their trucks, and they go find as many snow drifts as possible. Because where we're from, it's so flat that the roads were elevated and drifts of snow would just come onto the road. You have these giant drifts of snow, and you would take your truck and you would just like plow through the snow, and you would just bust the snow. It was amazing, right? And extremely dangerous because you don't know what's in the snow. You don't know if there's a car or anything in there. And so we decided that we were going to do this rite of passage, and so we go busting the snow drifts, and we hit the first one, which is the baby one, and it's fine. And we're like, all right, let's keep going. So we're speeding down the road, hitting one snow drift after little one after little. Finally, a big one's coming up. And, well, the other people that do this had like these big, you know, Ford F-150s or Ford F-350s, these big giant trucks. We just had a tiny little truck. It was like an S-10, just a little tiny baby truck. And we hit that snow drift. And it spit us out. Like, we hit it and didn't go through. We hit it and it just kind of tossed us. It was one of these interesting moments. And it tossed us into the cornfield, about 30 feet into the cornfields off the side of the road. And so we're way over. We don't even fully understand what's happened. We're stuck in a cornfield. We're like, okay, we got to get out of here. And we couldn't get the truck out. We were stuck in ice and snow. It was too deep. And weren't properly dressed, and we couldn't get the car started. It was bad. It was one of those bad moments. Like, what do we do? We're trying to figure it out. Do we go to the closest house, which is 5 miles away? Do we use our cell phone? No, because cell phones weren't there yet. There were no cell phones. What do we use? How do we get out of this predicament and situation? And we decided the best course of action would just be to wait. We were going to wait for some other redneck to come by and pull us out, okay? And the good news is that's what happened, all right? So we were just waiting for somebody to rescue us. One of our other not-so-bright friends comes by, throws out the cable to us, and pulls us out of the cornfield. Good news is the car started up again, and it wasn't damaged, so we didn't have to tell anybody. So my parents hopefully are not listening to this message right now. But we're just waiting to be rescued. Waiting to be rescued. And so that's our theme here today. Let me ask you, have you ever been waiting to be rescued? Have you ever like, man, I just wish somebody would rescue me right now. I'm so stuck. I'm at the end of my rope. My ship is sinking. Whatever ways we can come up to say that. I just need somebody to rescue me. Well, Christmas time, a couple thousand years ago, that's exactly how the people felt. They felt, man, we need somebody to rescue us. We're in trouble. This is the story that we're going to read today. It takes place right after the birth of Jesus. Last Sunday, we talked about Simeon, who was waiting for Jesus, waiting for the Messiah. And he came, and this is another one of those characters we're going to talk today about, named Anna. Verse 33, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him, meaning Simeon was talking about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "The child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher and was very old. Her husband died, and when they had been married only 7 years, then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God and fasting with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. She began praising God. Now, that had to be a weird moment, just to bring you up to speed. Your baby's born, just a few days later, you take your baby to the temple. Simeon grabs your baby, just grabs it, prophesies over you, makes this prophetic declaration. And then somebody comes alongside of you and starts to sing. Just the moment, just imagine the moment. And who knows what she's saying? I'm not going to try to do it. But she started to sing and praise God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. So you get this idea. Immediately she realizes, this is the one we've been waiting for. This is the one that's come to rescue us. I got to go tell everybody. And she runs out and she starts to tell everybody. Everybody in the temple. Everybody on the outside of the temple. She's just telling everybody. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There, the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. Here we have this idea. Anna was waiting for a way out of the situation that her people were in. She was waiting to be rescued. She was waiting for someone that God would send to rescue them. She was waiting with anticipation. She had an expectancy that something great was about to happen. Something great would take place in her lifetime. She just had a sense. She had an awareness that it was something was about to arrive. And I don't know if you've ever been waiting for something, but you're waiting for it, and sometimes you kind of only half-heartedly believe it's going to happen. But then other times you're like, it's definitely happening. And like you just can't wait for it to show up. Like if you order something off of Amazon, right? And you're like, oh man, it needs to be here. It needs to be here by 5 o'clock. You know, I need it by 5 o'clock. And so you go to the UPS tracking, and you start to track it. And you're like, oh, it's in Linfield now. When's it gonna get here? You're like, I'm stalking the truck. I actually one time went to the truck that I know his route. I know the guy's route because it was taking too long. I went to the truck to get my package. I don't even know if you're allowed to do that, but he did it. So I was waiting. I was anticipating. So here's Anna. She's anticipating this. She came along as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph and just began praising God. And the word here, it says, waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Somebody say the word rescue. Rescue. Rescue Jerusalem. How's this baby going to rescue anything? The word rescue here in this story is related to the idea of captivity. See, in this moment, the people of Israel were captives. They were captives both physically to another nation, and they were captives spiritually in a way they did not fully understand or appreciate. And yet, Anna understood that it was the character and pattern of God to rescue people who are captive in impossible situations. She understood this, that because they were captives and it was an impossible situation, that God was probably going to show up. This word rescue connects back to the Old Testament Passover and the release of Israel from centuries of Egyptian slavery. You see, this is not the first time that Israel had been captive. They had been captive in slavery before. And the last time, in this particular time in Egypt when they were in slavery, God set his people free. And they're running out of Exodus. They're running out of Egypt in the great Exodus. And they come to this great body of water. In the body of water, they can't get around. And the army's coming after them. And they look to God, and God parts the water. Just makes it so they can walk right through. They walk through the water, go to the other side. Now, there's a lot of people. It's not like 25 people. There's hundreds of thousands of people, up to 2 million. They walk through. They're being rescued by God. As they get to the other side, the Egyptian army is chasing after them. They get into the dry land where the water's at. This does not seem like the most brilliant strategy to me from a military perspective, because if there's a lot of water over here and you weren't the one that made it go do that, you would think maybe this is not the safest. But they went ahead and they were chasing after the Israelites. And when the Israelites were safe across, the water drops and drowns the entire army. And they are rescued. And they escape from Egypt. In Anna's day, that moment that had happened thousands of years earlier was considered to be the ultimate rescue and the ultimate symbol of God's power to release captives. When Anna saw Jesus, this baby Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke of Jesus to all who were waiting to be rescued. Here at last was the one who would save his people from their sins, the one who would save them from their mistakes, the one who would save them from their captivity. A lot of hopes and dreams were all wrapped up in this package of this little baby. But Anna and last week Simeon both recognized that this baby was the very one they had been waiting for. This was the very one, the one that had everything that they had hoped for. This baby was everything they had ever dreamed of, everything they had ever been waiting for. This child was their freedom. This child was the one who had come to rescue them all. This child, this baby. And Anna had the spiritual sense to understand that the beginning of the greatest rescue mission in history had just been launched. It was at hand. Here was the rescuer. Here was the redeemer. And Anna was not going to miss it for anything. She would not miss it. So many times, the rescue that you want shows up in a way that's different than what you had hoped for. I don't know if you've noticed that in life. You're like, I really need help. I need to get out of a situation. I need to stop doing something. I need to stop being with somebody, whatever the situation is. Yeah, I need somebody to rescue me. I need to get out of the situation. And so many times, people don't accept the rescue that comes for them because it's not the way they want it. You're like, oh, hey, I really need help out of the situation. I'm like, oh, that's easy. Just do this, this, and this. Three things. Get back to me next week. You'll be good. Oh, I can't do any of those three things. But those are the only three things that work. So either do them or stay in captivity. It's up to you. I'll stay in captivity. All right, then. All right. All right. It's good. It's good. It's your life. I'll go to sleep tonight. So many people don't take the rescue that comes. They miss it for whatever reasons. Most of the time, it's just because it's too hard. It just hurts way too much to do that. I can't do that. There's no way. How in the world am I ever going to stop doing that? How am I ever going to break off this thing? How in the world am I ever going to stop using my cell phone? You know, whatever it happens to be. Make sure you don't miss your rescue when it's at hand. I can't hope that for you enough. When the rescue comes, take it. Take it. Take it as it comes. Maybe you heard about the religious man who was caught in the flood, and he climbed up on top of the roof of his house, and he trusted God to rescue him. A neighbor came by in a canoe and said, "The waters will soon be above your house. Hop in and we'll paddle to safety." "No thanks," he replied, the religious man. "I've prayed to God and I'm sure that God will rescue me." Short time later, the police come by in a boat. "The waters will soon be above your house," they say. "Hop in, we'll take you to safety." "No thanks," replied the religious man. "I've prayed about it and I'm sure that God will come and rescue me." A little time later, the rescue service's helicopter shows up, hovering overhead as the water's just about to drown the guy. They let down a rope ladder and say, "The waters are going to drown you in just a moment. Climb the ladder and we'll fly you to safety." "No thanks," replied the righteous man. "I've prayed to God and I'm sure He will rescue me." All this time, the flood waters continue to rise until soon they reached above the roof and the religious man drowned. When he arrived at heaven, he demanded an audience with God, which you really can't do, all right, by the way. Ushered into God's throne room, he said, "Lord, why am I here in heaven? I prayed for you to rescue me. I trusted you to rescue me from that flood." "Yes, you did, my child," replied the Lord, "and I sent you a canoe, a boat, and a helicopter. But you never got in," right? Friends, today, make sure you don't miss your rescue. When Jesus came, Simeon recognized him for who he was on the spot. When Jesus came, Anna recognized him for the very one she had been expectantly waiting for, the one who would rescue us all. Perhaps in your life, at some point in your life, perhaps you'd come to believe that being rescued came in some other form. Perhaps it seemed to come in the form of a relationship, another relationship that just didn't seem to work out. Perhaps it seemed to come from an aggressive nightlife that eventually left you broken and empty. Perhaps it seemed to come from being the very, very best at your job and rising to the top, only to discover that the rat race never ends and certainly never fulfills. Perhaps your rescue seemed to come in the form of another pill or a glass of wine or whatever substance seemed to cover your angst the fastest, then finding out that you are so captive that you can't even function without it. There are hundreds of ways that as humans we try to construct and manipulate our own rescues. And every rescue mission, listen, every rescue mission that mankind has ever instituted to heal the soul has simply failed. Mankind has never and will never create something that will heal the soul. There is only one mission that has ever worked. There is only one rescuer at the center of that mission. And Christmas is the moment that the rescue mission of all rescue missions was launched. And the rescuer was and is and will always be the one that we call Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So friends, don't miss the rescue of Jesus. Don't miss him. Maybe this Christmas you find yourself being plagued with guilt because of something you've done or some particular way that you've been living or something from your past that you just can't shake. Maybe you felt like you're trapped in some kind of horrible cycle and pattern of sin that you just can't break out of. Well, if you need forgiveness, if you need to be rescued, then the good news is Christmas is for you. That's the whole point. If you're brokenhearted today, broken in spirit or broken in body, and in need of healing, Christmas is for you. If you are mourning and in need of comfort, if you are hungry and thirsty for justice, if you are guilty and in need of grace, if you are persecuted and in need of strength, then Christmas is for you. As the worship team comes up, I want to do something. I don't know that we've ever done anything like this before, but I want to give you a chance to meditate on Christmas. I want you to get an opportunity to put yourself into the Christmas story. And in verse 33, it says this. It says, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. See the word amazed right there? Why don't you say amazed? Amazed. They were amazed. They were amazed. They already knew that something was special because of the miraculous nature of the birth of Jesus. There was Mary. There was Joseph. They're over at the temple now. Then Simeon and Anna. All these amazing things are happening. They are truly amazed. There are very few words that would adequately describe the emotions and feelings, joy and relief that the people in that moment would have felt. But one of the words is amazed. That's how they would have felt. Amazed. So I want to give you a moment, an opportunity, to put yourself into the story. Here on the front, we have all these nativity sets, okay? And several of these over here. My wife and I have been collecting nativity sets. Like, we go to a country, and while we're there, we buy a nativity set, bring it back. It's something fun to do. So we have all these nativity sets around the house this time of the year. But maybe you can put yourself into the story as one of these characters. Now, there's no Simeon or Anna up here because they get, I don't know why they got blacklisted or something. They're not allowed in the nativity sets, but there's never there. But imagine yourself as one of these characters. Imagine Mary, mother of Jesus. An angel comes and tells her. She gives birth as a virgin. What was going through her mind? What was going on in her spirit during this whole time? Just put yourself there. She was young. How about Joseph? Joseph was a very special man. He's the guy that should have run, but he stayed. He was a man of faith. Man who believed in impossible things. This must have been a fascinating moment for Joseph. You got the wise men in the story. They don't show up till a couple years later, but they're on their way. What are they thinking about for 2 years on the way? Walking along with camels. Can't wait to get to the promised one. Can't wait to get to Jesus. What's going on? What would cause somebody to go through all of this? The shepherds. The shepherds are the ones that nobody liked, by the way. Nobody liked shepherds in the day. They were dirty. They were smelly. They were filthy. They were disgusting. These guys did not live in the suburbs. They did not have nice houses. These are the outcasts. And yet, when the angel showed up to announce the newborn Savior of the world, the angel showed up to these guys. They got first dibs on Jesus. They showed up. What was going through their mind? Then you got Simeon. God had promised that the Savior of the world, the Messiah, would show up in his lifetime. And he finally showed up. What must have been happening in his mind and heart? Or Anna, since the moment her husband passed away 60-something years earlier. She'd been waiting. Waiting for Jesus. Would you stand with me? Here's what we're going to do. The worship team's going to lead us in this song, but I just want you to reflect today. I want you to spiritually meditate on this, and this is how you do that. You can either do so from right where you're standing, or you can come out of your seats and you can come walk by these nativity sets and just kind of connect with one of the characters in the story. Just take a few minutes and put yourself into the story. And like Mary and Joseph, be amazed. Be amazed at Jesus. If I could give you a Christmas gift this year that meant something serious, it would be that you would all be amazed at Jesus. It would be a great gift. So, let's take a moment. Let's take 5 or 10 minutes and just focus. Just focus. Put yourself there in the story. As the worship team leads us, you can come up and just kind of walk by and just start this together. Don't talk to each other. Just spend some time focusing on this for a few minutes.
Something happened after Anna recognized who she had seen. Scripture says she talked about the child to everyone. To everyone. Just imagine she sees the baby. She praises God for a minute and then she bolts. She just starts telling everybody. The rescue is at hand. The rescue is at hand. The rescue is at hand. Friends, over the next 8 days, a solid half or more of the world is going to celebrate Christmas. And the vast majority of them have no idea what they're celebrating. They literally have no idea. And some of you in this room, you have been rescued by Jesus. Jesus has rescued you. And Christmas is the beginning of that rescue. It's the beginning of that rescue for you. You have all kinds of family, all kinds of friends that have no idea. No idea. Maybe this Christmas, you make sure that they know. You make sure that they know what Christmas really is. It's the inauguration, the launch of the greatest rescue mission in history. It showed up in the form of a baby named Jesus. Gives us all something to reflect on, something to be amazed at. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you have rescued me, and thank you that you are at work actively rescuing mankind. Over the next 8 days, may there be those that are equally amazed as Anna as they discover the true meaning of Christmas, the true intent. And may we all be a people that celebrate well in amazement at your son Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Merry Christmas.